Good evening, folks. Welcome back. Thank you for joining with us again this Wednesday night, and I trust you're having a great week. I do want to remind you, our family, our church family, to continue to be in prayer for Rogan and his family, and just lift them up in your prayers. If you're not sure how to pray for them, just pray for them. Just talk with God about them and their situation, and the Holy Spirit will take what you're not sure how to say and will make it what needs to be said. So just lift them up in your prayers, please, in these coming days. So tonight we're going to go back into our study on holiness. We've been talking about holiness. And last week we looked at a truth that if we, who claim to be Christians, if we have no desire for growing in holiness. Remember, if you don't, go back and listen to that again, but we need to have a desire to grow in holiness. We've been given the grace that appeareth to all men, bringeth us salvation, but it also does something else. That same grace that we claim for salvation also puts within us a desire for holiness. Now, if we don't have that desire, then either the grace failed or we didn't receive that grace in the first place. No desire for growing in holiness, then we're not saved. It was kind of an either or position that we looked at in Scripture last week. Look with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 6. That's our main text where we're going to be at tonight. And I'm just going to read two verses for you to start with. Verses 6 and 7. It says this: knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I would say that most Christians have a desire for holiness at some level. But many, it would appear, don't seem to be striving for holiness, as we've considered in the last couple of weeks. They've maybe come to believe that it's not attainable. They just can't do it. Perhaps they've struggled for years. You know, each person has their own particular sins. They're not necessarily living in gross sin, but maybe they've just given up on the idea of living a holy life. Instead, they lead a mediocre spiritual life. It really doesn't please them, and it doesn't please God either. Now, our passage that we've read here tonight, it seems even more impossible. If we could go back to verse 6 again, I'll just read them both again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. It seems impossible. The command to live a holy life is frustrating when we look at this either or position. Here's what generally happens. We approach living holiness from one of two perspectives, okay? The first perspective is we live holiness by our own willpower. We just got to try harder. We pray, we struggle without success. We read books about the victorious Christian life. That's one perspective. And then the other perspective is this: holiness is sought solely by faith. Now, here's how that manifests itself. The question arises now at this point: is God responsible or am I responsible? And then the confusion sets in, right? When we first get saved, we assume that, okay, I'm saved. Remember, we're all excited about being saved, for our sins forgiven. We're going to have a home in heaven. We're now new creatures created in Christ Jesus. And we assume that we're going to read in God's word what we're supposed to do, and then we'll just do it. But we don't consider our tendency to cling to our old ways of living. We try and fail. We try and fail again. And then, somewhere along the way, we learn that our problem is that we've been trying to live the Christian life in our own effort. So what we need to do is we just need to stop trying and start trusting. There's that faith perspective. The old saying, let go and let God. We're just supposed to turn our sin problem over to Christ and rest in what he has already done. When we do that, he will live his life through us. And we like that. God has already done the work. True story. We just need to sit back and let God change us. And then we have that phrase, well, God's not finished with me yet. It kind of comes from that faith perspective. I'm saved, and I'm just waiting for God to change me as he will, when he will, at certain times in my life. But then we realize that we're still struggling with our old sinful natures. Still no victory. One man put it this way: we still struggle with pride, jealousy, materialism, impatience, lust. We still eat too much, waste our time, criticize each other, shade the truth, and a whole list of other things we could add on to the end of that. And then we wonder, why can't I? The victory, you know, that victory that we've read about and heard about is still so elusive. Something must be wrong with me. And then we just stop. We just stop trying altogether. A lack of understanding on this issue, I think, has led to great confusion in our pursuit of holiness. That's why we have to spend time on this issue. God has made provision for us to live holiness, but he has also given us definite responsibilities. Okay? Let's see if we can't reconcile this in our minds here tonight. Back to Romans chapter 6. Look with me in verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now let's observe something here. The pursuit of holiness is something we have to do. In our verse, we are told, don't let sin reign in your body. But I also want us to notice that one word there in verse 12, therefore. Paul is saying, in light of what I have just said, don't let sin reign in your body. So we have to look back at what he had just said. So let's go all the way back in chapter 6 to verses number 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, right there, he's saying we have died to sin. And then in verses 3 through 11, because of time, we won't take that to read all of those verses. But in those following verses, he then develops that thought that we are dead to sin. So number one, we have died to sin. To do this, we have to understand what it means when that we have died to sin. That would be better understood in those verses 2 or verse 3 through 11. Our dying to sin is related to our union with Christ. Because he died to sin, we died to sin. Our dying to sin then is not something we do, but it's something that Christ has done for us. Therefore, we have done it because of our union with Christ. Now, here's number 2 in your outline. Our dying to sin is a fact. It's not something that we do or something that we make happen. Now, if you're starting to get a little bit confused, because remember in verses 6 through 7, it tells us that we have to die to our old man, die to our sinful nature, and we're told to do that. But now we're saying this isn't something that we do. Our problem comes in when we think dying to sin means that we are somehow removed from the ability of sin to touch us. Verse 11 gives us the idea that if we have to just reckon ourselves, let me go ahead and read that. I don't think it'll be on your screens. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon ourselves dead to sin. If we have to just reckon ourselves dead to sin, if we are not experiencing victory, then it must be that we haven't reckoned the fact that we are dead to sin. It's not something we do, it's a thing in our mind. We have to actually consider ourselves dead to sin. So verses 11 and 12 have to be taken together. That gives us the context. Verse 11, we are to reckon in our minds, have an understanding that we are dead to sin. And then in verse 12, it says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Because you are already dead to sin, because of what Christ did for us, don't let sin reign in your body. We are to not let that happen. So our success over sin is not determined by our understanding that we are dead to sin, but rather by our choice. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but then we are to not let it reign in our body. That's where our choice comes in. Dead to sin. That phrase there, Paul means that we died, here it is, to the dominion of sin, the power or the control of sin over us. Before we trusted Christ, we followed the ways of the world. We followed the ruler of this world, the devil. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 tells us to open their eyes and to turn them, unsaved people, to turn them from darkness to light. Here it is. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Before we were saved, we were in the dominion of sin, the dominion of Satan. Our minds were under his control. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 that we were slaves to sin. But because of our union with Christ, we have died to that realm. We're no longer in that realm where Satan was once in control. We have been rescued from the dominion of that ruler. Because we were slaves, we acted like slaves. What do slaves do? Slaves do what they're told to do, right? When we were in that dominion, slaves to the ruler of this world, we did what we were told to do. And what did we do? We developed sinful habits during that time in that realm. We lived for ourselves, not for God. So the question comes, if we're dead to that realm, we're freed from the power of sin, why do we still sin? So if we have been delivered from the power of sin, that's a good question. Why do we still sin? Let me illustrate it this way. Let's take a nation, for example. Any nation, whatever nation it is, it doesn't matter. Make one up in your mind, okay? And within that nation, there are two competing groups. And they're warring with each other. They're fighting with each other. One group, at one point, gets the help of another nation outside of their nation. Another nation comes in to help them, and they defeat that second group. And the winning nation, or the winning group, assumes control of that group. The losing side doesn't stop their fighting. They just kind of change their tactics. And now it's like a guerrilla warfare. And they continue to fight because they're still there within that first nation. Someone else came in and helped one group, but the opposing group is still there, still fighting, doing their little guerrilla tactics, their little attacks here and there, just trying to disrupt things and bring down that winning group. That's how it is with the Christian. Two groups. Satan has been defeated. But our sinful nature continues to fight. It's in conflict with the spirit that now lives within us. That spirit, the outside nation that came in and helped us win the victory. But we still have the losing side running tactics against us. That's what Paul was talking about when he said to the Galatians, you do not do what you want to do. We've been there, right? We know what we want to do, but oh man, we just don't always do it. Let's consider this. Why do we still sin? Number one, habits of sin. Author J. Adams, he puts it this way. He said, we were born a sinner, but it took practice to develop our particular styles of sinning. We tend to sin out of habit. It's our habit to look out for ourselves. It's our habit to retaliate. It's our habit to indulge the appetites of the body. It's our habit to live for ourselves instead of God. We had spent an entire lifetime prior to being in union with Christ. We spent all of those years before that living for selves and for the other kingdom. It became a habit, okay? That's why, one reason why we still sin. Here's a second reason. We are surrounded by sin. The world around us, it continually tries to transform us back to the way we were. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. We've been saved from this realm. We just haven't left it yet, right? So here we are in this realm, in union with Christ. We've been freed from the control of this realm, but we're still here. And that losing side is continually eating at us, trying to pull us back over to their side. That is why Paul warned us to be on our guard. Let me read verse 12 again. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let sin reign. It's going to try to pull us back. And because of our pre-developed sinful habits, it's sometimes easy to get us back. And because of all the sinful influence around us in this world, it is sometimes easy to get us back. But don't let sin reign. Don't let sin, here's a way we could say it, because one time sin did reign. But now Paul is saying, don't let sin re-reign in our bodies. We're no longer slaves to sin. Now we can say no. Before we had no choice. Now we have one. As Christians, when we sin, we don't sin as slaves any longer who had no choice when we were in that realm. We had no choice. But now as Christians, when we sin as individuals who have a choice. In other words, we choose to sin. It comes down to our choices. Spend some time tonight praying about that, about the choices that we make. If we're going to reverse the sinful habits and be able to successfully fight off the influences of the world around us and the attacks of the losing side, we have to come to a realization that God has freed us from the dominion of this world. And we have to come to grips with the fact that not only has God saved us, but he's also given us the ability to say no. It's called grace. It's one of the graces that he gives us. It's there if we ask for it. Spend some time tonight with Jesus, talking to him about that. That's a prayer request that he wants to answer and help us out with. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this passage in Romans. Thank you, God, for what you did, dying on the cross, not just to pay the penalty for our sin, but to free us from the dominion of sin. As Christians, as recipients of the grace that has saved us and the grace that seeks to make us holy, as the recipients of that grace, God, help us to understand that we now have a choice. And we just have to start making the right choice. If we fall, as we all do and will, God, your word says, if we confess and forsake, you'll forgive and cleanse. You pick us up, wash us down, and restore us back to where we were. We thank you for that ministry in our lives, God. And Lord, I pray that we, as listeners to this truth tonight, would avail ourselves to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I hope and pray that you'll have a good night, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.